Welcome to episode 444 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson, 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Jesus had a biological family, a mother, and at least six siblings. He also had an adopted earthly father. However, Jesus invites us to be members of his family by doing the will of his father. Today we explore 10 passages of scripture that speak to us about being in Jesus' family. John 1 verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus came to this world as the stone of help, the living stone, the cornerstone. And one day he will return as the coming stone, spoken of in Daniel. Yet some rejected him. Those who receive him become children of God. They become children of God through a new birth, being born now of God. 1 John 3 verses 1 to 2. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we shall be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Another version says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. That word bestow is intriguing. It speaks of the measure of God's love to us. It could more literally be translated as lavished on us. God's love is given to us generously, extravagantly. It is given without restraint. Secondly, it speaks of the manner of God's giving of love. Bestowed has the idea of a one-sided giving instead of a return for something earned. Behold, John says, take notice. God wants us to take notice of this kind of love. The greatness of this love is shown in that by it we are called children of God. As God looked down on lost humanity, he might have merely had a charitable compassion, a pity on our plight, both in this life and in eternity. With a mere pity, he might have set forth a plan of salvation where man could be saved from hell. But God went far beyond that to call us the children of God. Who calls us the children of God? The Father does. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 18, I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. The Son does. Hebrews 2 verse 11, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. The Spirit does. Romans 8 verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. There is a sense in which this is a totally unnecessary blessing that God gives us in the course of salvation, and a demonstration of his true and deep love for us. We could picture someone helping or saving someone, but not going so far as to make them a part of the family. But this is what God has done for us. When we accept this gift, we are family. Ephesians 2 verses 19 to 22. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the households of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Paul refers to Christians of Gentile background. They should not regard themselves as second-class citizens in God's kingdom in any regard. They are not only full citizens, but also full and equal members of God's household. Because we are one body and have the same access to God, it also follows that we are all built upon a common foundation. That foundation is the original apostles and prophets and their enduring revelation recorded in the New Testament. And Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone of the building in which we dwell. Galatians 6 verse 10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. We seek to do good with our resources, and to do good to all, but especially to those who are of the household of faith, to those who are of God's family. Romans 12 verse 5. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. The church is a unified whole, one body. Yet we are distinct within that one body, individually members. In the body of Christ, there is unity, but not uniformity. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Paul calls us to have a heart towards and to sympathize with our fellow members, though they may be different. Ephesians 1, verse 5. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. God's unfolding plan for us not only includes salvation and personal transformation, but also a warm, confident relationship with the Father. In Roman law, according to one commentator, when the adoption was complete, it was complete indeed. The person who had been adopted had all the rights of a legitimate son in his new family and completely lost all rights in his old family. In the eyes of the law, he was a new person. So new was he that even all debts and obligations connected with his previous family were abolished as if they had never existed. Another commentator takes the thought even further. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are not adopted into the family of God. They are born into the family. The Greek is only one word, son place. Son place. We are placed into the position of sons. Romans 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Living as a child of God means an intimate, joyful relationship with God. A child of God can have a relationship with God so close that they may cry out, Abba, Father, which means Daddy. It may be easy for us to think of Jesus relating to the Father with this joyful confidence, but we may think we are disqualified for it. However, remember that we are in Christ. We have the privilege of relating to the Father even as Jesus Christ does. 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. The ancient Greek sentence begins in a striking way. Those who are loved, let us love. We're not commanded to love one another to earn or become worthy of God's love. We love one another because we are loved by God and have received that love and live in light of it. We are loved into the family of God, and love is what drives our interactions with each other and with God. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. In the strongest terms, Paul emphasizes the responsibility of a man to provide for his family, to do all he can to support them. This is the minimum required of a Christian man. If he does not do even this, his conduct is worse than that of an unbeliever. Jesus himself gives an example of providing for one's own when he provided a home for his mother with the Apostle John, even while he was hanging on the cross. Father, thank you for this privilege, this opportunity, this gracious possibility of being members of the family of God. Help us to so live that we will be able to count ourselves as members of that family. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.